manatees.org. I'm Jenny Gould with another edition of Flora Days. Long before manatees became an endangered species, they were known as sea cows because of their meat. Craig Pittman, author of the new book Manatee Insanity, says one veteran of the Seminole War described it as better than the best Tennessee beef.
The settlers in the Miami area in Coconut Grove liked to make a dish called the Gypsy Stew. Manatee was one of the favorite ingredients.
They were easy to catch, is that right?
They could be. They'd string a net across an area where manatees were known to frequent and trap them in there. They had this thing, sort of a bang stick, that they could kill them with.
When did perceptions in Florida about the manatees start to change?
The first law that was passed to protect them was passed in 1893. A fellow named Frederick Morse, who was a state representative from what became Miami, passed this law through the legislature that said you could only kill manatees for scientific purposes, and even then you had to get a permit from your county commission. And if you didn't, you faced a fine of $500 and 6 months in jail. The law was loosely enforced. The killing continued, but that was the first sign that people were concerned that manatees might be disappearing. The real revolution in attitudes, though, came in the late 60s and early 70s when a researcher named Woody Hartman came down from Cornell to complete his doctorate by doing an in-depth study of manatees, literally, in that he was the first scientist to actually don a mask and flippers and go swimming with them. Woody's research was partially financed by National Geographic. He then wrote a story about what he found. That led to Jacques Cousteau coming to Crystal River to do a special called Forgotten Mermaids. That was the first time people really took a good long look at manatees and A, understood what they were, and B, were intrigued by them. And as a result, tourists began showing up in Crystal River saying, I want to see the manatees. Show me the manatees.
Are we talking about the West Indian manatee, and is it native to Florida? I didn't think it was.
The West Indian manatee is native to Florida. They have found fossils around Blue Spring that date back millions of years. William Bartram, in his travels through Florida in the 1700s, documented seeing manatees around Blue Spring.
I wonder why it's known as the West Indian manatee.
I think that was the first place that scientists encountered it. Columbus saw manatees and described in his logbook that mermaids were not nearly as attractive as they were supposed to be.
Have you found any estimates or illustrations to show how plentiful manatees were at one time?
Nobody knows. In fact, one of the reasons that manatees were put on the endangered species list was because nobody knew how many there were. The estimate now is that there are about 5,000 swimming around Florida.
That's all?
Yes, that's actually more than they found back in the early 2000s. There were about 3,000.
How do they track manatees?
They can attach radio transmitters to their tail. The thing that makes manatees so appealing is that they are an endangered species that you can see. They show up at people's backyard docks. They show up in state parks.
They almost look as if they're smiling sometimes.
In the book, I describe them as being sort of like hippies. They have a very strong sex drive. They're nonviolent. They actually greet each other with something that looks like a kiss. They're staunch vegetarians. Their only known predator, really, is man.
Manatees went from being sea cows, a food source, to, some might say, a sacred cow.
That's a good comparison. They have this peculiar look about them. There are at least two documented instances at Homosassa Springs State Park where elderly visitors were so entranced by the manatees that they saw swimming below them that they leaned over and said, aww, and then their dentures fell out.
In recent years, the manatee and its protected status has been the focus of legal and political battles between environmentalists and boaters, as well as builders of docks and waterfront homes.
Things have somewhat settled down. Waterfront development hasn't been stopped by the regulations. It's been stopped by the economy. I think that may be the real reason why things have kind of gone into a lull.
Craig Pittman covers environmental issues as a reporter for the St. Petersburg Times. For 88.9 FM, I'm Janie Gould.